Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and if you have your Bibles, to starting in verse 16, Jesus had just come through his temptation, and the starting of verse 4, and with Satan, and Satan put him through everything that he could, and then he left there, and he started returning into where he lived and where he came from Galilee. And then verse 16 talks about that he came to Nazareth. And this is where I want to start reading. It said, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that your name might be lifted up and glorified, because you are our God and our wonderful Savior. And we pray for the hearts that are here, and I pray for your word to speak to each and every one of us, dear God, as only you can. And we give the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And it says, this day the scripture will fulfill in your ears. Even as Jesus said that to the people that were there, the scriptures that I read are fulfilled in your ears. The people that are sitting here, it's not just something that happened and was for the people 2,000 years ago, but it's for the people every time the scripture is read. It is fulfilled in your ears. You know, you hear it, and you listen. And sometimes we miss some of these things as we put all these things together. He said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. This was quoted out of the book of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And it said that he was going to be coming, and he was going to have these aspects in his life. But the verse, and a part of the verse that I want to look at, and it says, and he came to preach the gospel to the poor, but he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent. Christ was sent in a way that nobody else has ever been sent, to heal the broken heart. Now, I don't know about you having a broken heart, maybe even tonight, but there might have been a time in your life that you've experienced a broken heart. Sometimes people have young romances when they are in grade school or junior high or senior high, and they have fallen in love with somebody, and it lasts about a week. And that's, you know, and that's a long time for them things. But anyway, if you've had one of them children in your household, then they have this broken heart. Nothing makes them happy, and you can't make them feel good at all just because of all these things that happen in a broken heart. And so, but he says, you know, broken hearts are a lot more than that. And, you know, a lot more than, and I'm not trying to make light of a broken heart of a young person, because it's just as real to a young person when their heart is broken. But sometimes they're broken because their families break up. Maybe they're broken because their mom or dad got in an accident or got sick and they aren't with them anymore, and they have that lonesome feeling within them. My mother didn't die until just a few years ago. She was 96 years old. But when she was younger, she spent about 2.5 months in the hospital. I never seen her for the 2.5 months. And I had two brothers and a sister to take care of. And by the time she got home, I was really lonesome. When I seen her, I just cried. And I wasn't planning on crying, but I did, because I had missed her, and it was something that I couldn't explain, because it wasn't a broken heart, but it sure was a sad heart. And Jesus says he came to heal the broken heart. You can go to a doctor and tell him you've got a broken heart. He'll say, well, let me see what kind of pill I've got for you so that I can give you a pill to help you get over your broken heart. And that don't work. That don't work. A pill don't work when you got something that's hurting you. Pill don't hurt when you're so sad that you can't even give anybody an idea exactly how you feel. And you can go to a friend and start telling your friend about your broken heart. And pretty soon that friend is going to get up and leave. You know, they don't sit around and visit with you when you are telling them all these things that are wrong with you. You can go to your preacher. And the preacher said, I'll pray for you. He isn't going to get rid of that broken heart any better than anybody else, but he's going to pray for you. He's going to be a brother in need. He's going to be that friend that's there, but he cannot remove that broken heart. But you know, if you go to Jesus, it says he's been sent to heal the broken heart. That is one of the things that God has put on his agenda. It's one of the things that he doesn't back away from. If you've ever had a broken heart, and if you've ever went to Jesus, he takes care of that. He takes care of that broken heart. How does he do it? That's his job. He doesn't have to explain. We just have to ask him to help us when we got that broken heart. But you know, many times we can help a friend. We can help a youngster. We can help one of our children when they're in that situation, when things go up against them. I like the song that Lydia sang, when, you know, when everything goes against you. And it will, and it does, and it has in our lives. And so when we have some sad feelings, we maybe not have to have a broken heart, but we can have a heart that's all mixed up. We can have a heart that we don't have all the answers for the next day or what's going on, but so we can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is my problem. Many times people back off. They don't go to Jesus. They get into their sorrows. They have all kinds of ways of dealing with it, but they don't go to Jesus. You know, when talking about a broken heart, but we're talking about a lost soul today. If there is someone that's not saved, it isn't a Christian, and doesn't have Christ in your heart, this is a service. Today is a day that you can make a change in your life, because one of the things about it, you're always going to be sad without the Lord. God is going to put pressure on you one way or the other to bring you to a knowledge so that you can see that you need a Savior. God does these things in your life. He puts things in your life that you never thought that he had put them in there, but it makes you think about him, especially when you come to church, especially if you're in a family that has prayer, especially when you think, why has all this happened to me? God is putting pressure on you to come to him and to accept him as your Savior. He does these things, Lord. Lord loves you, because the Lord loves you in these things here. We have, now Jesus was sent, but you know, we look in our news and we always have somebody that's been sent to Washington. They come to Washington and you don't know why they came from other countries. They came to visit our country. They look around our country and the way they go. Maybe the next one comes and maybe he wants some money. Maybe he wants some help. Maybe he wants some troops. He has these things. We don't know why he came. Nothing is said. He comes in quiet. And so we find all these things come to us, and we find that very open. Jesus was very open. You just think about his whole life. There was nothing hid about when Jesus came. If you go back to when the shepherds came, what did the shepherds say about Christ? He's going to be the Emmanuel, the Savior. The king worried about him being the Savior. People wondering about him, and they doubted him, but the message kept on going. And even after he was crucified, the message kept on going that he was a Savior. And he was sent from God to save you from your sins. He was sent from God to heal your broken heart. And so we find that nobody is exempt from a broken heart. There isn't any place in this world that you can go and look into family history and look into things that are in people's life. A lot of times people won't say too much to you. A lot of times people, when they're hurting, they're more to themselves, and they just keep it there, and they keep it there, and they live with it, and their whole life takes on a sad experience. I seen sometime, I think it must, maybe, I don't know if it was a news program or what, but they were showing all these people, and they were all kind of like in a shelter, and things were not, they just weren't in a good condition. And these people come walking through, and this one black lady sat there in a chair, and she looked, and that one of them people were looking at her. And she looked back at them. He says, "Are you looking at my misery?" I said, "Are you looking at my misery?" And a lot of times we don't want people to look at our misery. We don't want people to look at that part of our life where we can't help ourselves, where we can't do anything for that. So we find that there isn't a city, there isn't a state, there isn't a country, there isn't a family, there isn't a church, there isn't any walk of life that can say that we're exempt from this broken heart. The young and the old, in every season of life, there is things that come into our life that we don't like, we don't want, and things are difficult. A family that we know, and maybe even some of you know, I won't mention the names, but they're in probably close to 90 years old. They're both very feeble. They live in our park where we live there. We've known them for a lot of years, but they toughen it out. Everything that they can do, they don't want anybody to really come around and to help them, and they're just toughen it out. And I don't know if they've got a broken heart, but their spirit is broken. Their spirit is broken, and just the life is changing so much for them. So we find Jesus has the authority. God sent him to be that one to heal the broken heart. And we have these ones that are sent by God. You know, there isn't never one in the Bible that were sent by God that they failed. We can look at Moses, and we can look at Joshua, and we can look at Elijah. No matter how great the work, how mighty the undertaking, no matter how many difficulties they had to face, if you go back in them experiences that that Moses had, how difficult it was for him to lead the children of Israel out who didn't even want to be led out. That was a difficulty. They didn't like anybody telling them what to do. And we find that Moses, as God directed him, as God sent him, he delivered them people to the place where they could be taken into the promised land. He did not fail. He had a lot of problems. He had a lot of difficulties. His heart was broken. His things were in his life. Joshua, he didn't fail. He went and settled the people into the land, gave them all their places where they're supposed to be there. Elijah met with Ahab, and then he met with all the hosts of Baal, all of that great bunch of people, and God delivered them into Elijah's hand. Elijah didn't fail. Now we think that Jesus has been sent into this world. He's been sent into this world to heal the brokenhearted. Now they didn't fail. Moses didn't fail. Joshua didn't fail. Elijah didn't fail. Certainly Jesus is not going to fail when he says, "I come to heal the brokenhearted. When I come to do this work that God has sent me to do." Many times people don't want to give in that they have a broken heart. They don't want to give in that they are the one that God is talking to. You. Pastor had the message. Then he had about David. And when David had sinned, and God sent Nathan to him. And he says, you're the man. You're the person that God wants to talk to. You're the one that is guilty. So sometimes when we're in a service, sometimes when we have some issues that we need to get taken care of because to put that joy back in our life, or we need to know that we're walking in the right direction, God says, "You're the one that I want you to listen to me. I want to do some work in your heart. I want to do some things in your life that you will not let me do. And I cannot do them unless you let me." And so when we let God have his way, we let Jesus in our heart, and we let Jesus talk to us and listen. And that's the biggest problem I think God has with anybody. They want to do all the talking, and they want God to do all the listening. and they don't want to listen to all the things that God has for them to do. So if we think, is there a heart so sad? Is there a heart so bruised? Is there a heart so broken that Christ cannot heal it? Is there some thought in your life that there is something in your life that Christ can't help? Is there a place that you've been and there's things that you have done and there's things that are hidden down in the heart, our hearts, that you think that, well, Christ just can't heal that. He just can't heal that. We have many little choruses. Jesus never fails, and he never fails. God cannot fail. We sing. I was trying to get a few songs in my mind so that I could have them, and I knew I couldn't remember all the lines that I wanted to remember. I hardly remembered coming here tonight, you know, getting here. This is a big event for me. And so sometimes there's a need in people's hearts. There's a need that they cover up all the time. And so we find that Christ came into this world. He came into this world and to be a comforter. He came into this world to be a help, because he says in that 18th verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Christ was anointed, and that was one of the things that they anointed the priest. The priests and the kings were anointed to have authority, and they had God's authority. When you have God's authority, this is something that is amazing to me, that people try to take on responsibilities in the churches as if they have all the things that they need to run the church and take care. And they take on authority, then they take on power. But God says power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. If we want power, God has that. But he says, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. How big of a crowd when you preach to the poor? Brother, what's your name in the back row? Jeff? Do you think that the people in the prison, in the jails, that you and your brother, I can't think of the other brother's name, Daryl, excuse me, I feel real stupid here, but you preach to the poor people. I don't think there's too many of them that are rich that are in the jails. Not too many of them are rich in there. I was, and maybe I told you this story before, we used to work down to the rescue mission down to Flint, and I was doing some cleaning that they couldn't take care of, and I was over into where the women's part were, and they had little rooms, like hotel rooms, for probably 15 or 20 of them for the mother and the child to stay in and stay overnight. But one of the things that they told them women when they come in there, you cannot bring your marijuana in or the other substance abuse things. You can't do it. And they would take their weapons and they would take everything they had when they got in there. But this one lady, black lady, and she had a little girl with her. She had abused that, and they had told her that she couldn't have these things. But once she was on there for about 2 weeks, and finally they told her that she had to go. She had to leave. It was right in the middle of the day. And so they told me, the women, they were just all women, they said, Harry, would you come here and stand with us at the door? And I said, okay. And I said, I couldn't quite figure it out. I said, well, we're taking this lady out. She was probably about 19 or 20. She had a little 3 or 4 year old girl there. And as she got to the door, stepped out the door, they give her all of her baggage in a bag and all of her clothes. And then they give her this knife. It was about this long. They give her this knife. And that's why they had me standing at the door, because she had this knife and they wanted to make sure that they could get her outside and that she wasn't going to cause them any problems. And I thought, how sad. I felt so bad at that time that we had granddaughters. I got 3 granddaughters. And I thought, if that would be one of my granddaughters, my heart really, it aches right at that time for that lady. I thought, I really wouldn't want to put her out. I really didn't want to have any part of it. I never forgot that. That was so stirring to me. I am sure in her bitterness, there was a broken heart. There was a heart that needed the Lord. And they were she was in a place that they preached the gospel in that rescue mission. She was in a place that she could have changed her mind and helped herself. She didn't have to do the things she was doing after the right way was pointed out to her. So they were preaching, he says, preaching the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I will never forget that. I have overlooked that in many times in my studies through the years and went on to other things. Then after that, it says to preach the deliverance of to the captives. There's many people that are captive in their habits. There are many people captive in the things of their life that they let overwhelm them. And God says that I'm sending Jesus to preach deliverance to the captives, recover the sight of the blind. You know, there's a lot of people that Jesus heals their blindness. He touches them as they come along. They ask him about it. He talks to them. He delivers them many different ways, and it still happens. You know, some people have been blind. Some people have had sight that they could see for their whole life. But, you know, worse than that is blindness in your heart, blindness towards the gospel, blindness for that you will not listen, blindness because maybe you've had some incidents in your life, and maybe it's been from somebody, and I don't even really want to say that, somebody that's a Christian or somebody that hurt your feelings or made you feel bad. But, you know, the blindness of our sight is not near compared to the blindness that's in people's hearts, and they come in. And I know when pastor has his messages on Sunday, his heart is touched because he knows there's people here that need to listen, need to change their mind about what they're thinking, need to change their mind about the gospel, need to change their mind about getting their heart right with God. Pastor knows that. He feels that. And the Holy Spirit enlightens his mind to these things, and he carries a lot. As it was said that I was talking to Brother David and Rebecca there, and they couldn't figure out why he was kind of feeling this emotion when he left. And I said, well, pastor would feel good if he could gather us all up and take us with him. I said, we all get down there with him. He'd feel good because he know everything is good with us, and he knows he'd be taking care of us. So I said that to him when he was going out. I said, if you can gather everybody up and take them down there with you, I said, you'd be happy. He said, yep. He says, I'd like that. He says, that's what I'd like to do. So, you know, pastor has a wonderful passion and love. So we find as Jesus puts these things, these love in a pastor's heart, and he says, set at liberty to them that are bruised. Certainly there is bruised families, there's bruised people from all the way up, broken families, and I am blessed. And I know that several of you, when you have your family here, and you have your children, you have your grandchildren, you know, there's a lot of grandchildren don't know who their grandpa and grandma are. There's a lot of grandpa and grandmas don't know where their grandchildren, and a lot of them don't even care. In this world, God has taken things and put into our lives that are Christians, that we see jewels, precious jewels, our children and our grandchildren, gifts from God, something that nobody else could give, and there is nothing we can compare to in our whole life how precious our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are. And so we find that our hearts can heal somebody else up by telling them when they're young, you know, there is things that need to be taken into consideration when you're young. And these things are very important. It says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what we have today. This is a year, 2013, April 17th, 2013 is the acceptable year of the Lord, the acceptable day of the Lord, the acceptable time of the Lord. And to think that God came to heal, Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, and to know, and you know, I'm sure, how many are in that situation. They don't know how to get out of it. They don't want to listen to anybody when you tell them that you can talk to the Lord about it. They don't want to. But you know, the Bible doesn't say that we should stop praying. there should be a time frame. I read an article about this preacher. He was having evangelistic services. And this woman came to him night after night. She says, "Will you pray for my boy to stop drinking? He's out drinking." And he says, "Would you pray for my boy to stop drinking?" Night after night, she came in the meetings. And finally, he said, "Lady," he says, "I want you to stop praying for your boy to stop drinking." He says, "I want you to start praying for your boy to get saved." He says, "I want you to start praying that your boy will get saved." And within something like 3 or 4 weeks, the lady said, "You know, my boy was saved. I stopped praying for his getting out of the alcohol, and I started praying for his salvation. The Lord answered the prayer." You know, sometimes we're not praying in a direction for our loved ones. If they need to be saved, if they need to have salvation in their life, there isn't any evidence of salvation in their life. We need to pray for their salvation. That's the biggest part of their life that needs to be taken care of. God will take care of the rest. He'll take care of that broken heart. Brother Ed, would you close us in prayer?